joins us. His book is called Living in Brazil as a Peace Corps Volunteer and Businessman. And I have to tell you, when I got off the phone speaking to Harold, when we had a preliminary conversation, I just wanted to go and travel because I was just amazed at the amazing things that he's done and what he's done by volunteering and what he's done as a businessman as well. So thank you so much for coming on.
It's my pleasure.
I have to bring this up is, well, first of all, how did you end up in Brazil and what else happened in South America that put you in this situation?
Well, I joined the Peace Corps twice. The first time I went to El Salvador and the second time I went to Brazil, and they simply chose me to go there because they thought I fit the needs that they had.
And so you go, and was it what you expected?
More or less, the Peace Corps had changed a little bit from my first experience to my second experience, but it was a good time.
And you were in South America for a while. How many languages do you speak?
I speak Spanish and Portuguese fluently.
Wow. Was that one of the requirements?
Well, when I went there, I spoke no Spanish or Portuguese. I learned them while I was there.
Yeah. So you learned the language, you're dealing with the people. Give us an idea of what it was like in Brazil. What was it like doing that job?
Well, it was really, in many cases, rather boring. You just go to work every day, and I worked in state agricultural planning, as if you could plan agriculture, but they tried. And, you know, you just have your meetings and do your thing. My experience in Brazil was quite different. It was at the state level, so I was in the state headquarters. When I worked in El Salvador, I was out in a village working with Indians as small subsistence farmers.
And doing that had to be interesting. What were the challenges of that job?
Well, in 1932, there had been a communist uprising all through Latin America. And in El Salvador, they associated an Indian as a communist. So if they saw an Indian, they saw a communist. So they were out shooting Indians. And the government killed up to about 10,000 Indians right in the area where we worked. And so we had many problems with running around, you know, getting to know Indians and then getting them to sign a list and working in clubs, because that's more or less what happened in 1932 when they had the massacre. So they were very distrustful, and we had to overcome that.
Oh, and how do you overcome that? What did you do to gain their trust?
Well, you just keep working and keep going there and keep visiting them, and eventually you wear them down. But we would have free seed, free fertilizer offered through the World Bank. And so they liked that, and then they saw the results from that were very positive, and so then they kind of opened up and let us into their village.
So you do that, and then you also do, and you talked about El Salvador, and of course in this book, talking about what that was like, there were some scary situations. Give us one of those stories.
Well, working in Brazil, I did some consulting, and this was after Peace Corps, because I lived in Brazil for 10 years, and I was going out to visit a farmer as a consultant, and I got about 3 hours out, and the highway was ending, and a dirt road was beginning, and that transition was, there was a one-way bridge, and I was going along and slowing my speed down and moving to the center of the road when a car came from behind and tried to pass me right at the bridge, which was a very silly thing to do because there was a tienda located on the right on the side of the road with several bicycles parked out front. And that car hit all of the bicycles and threw them, to absolutely destroyed them, sending them about 100 feet down the road. And then there were a whole bunch of little men come out of the tiendas shaking their fist at everybody because they were mad at everybody. And then the four men got out of the little Chevette, and they were waving their fist at me, and then they got back in and started to chase me. And one of the things that I could do was I was in a Volkswagen bus, so I could go very fast, or rather fast, on a very bumpy dirt road. And the other people, they were in a Chevette, and with four large men in it, they bottomed out and couldn't travel very fast, so I very quickly lost them in the dust.
Boy, that had to feel good getting away from them, huh?
Yeah, except I was a little worried on the way back. I didn't want to meet them on the way back either.
Wow. As a businessman, what was the biggest learning curve perhaps you had? Did you have a learning curve or no, because you had met so many people in what you were doing with the Peace Corps?
Well, with a business, it was very difficult because a lot of people were there trying to drag you down. They did not want to see someone become successful. And so if they could drag you down, they would.
Oh, that's scary. If they could drag you down, they would. And because you spoke the language, I mean, that had to help somewhat, because I can't imagine you would be able to really do business if you weren't fluent.
No, you have to be fluent, and you have to understand the culture. You have to be able to read what people are meaning rather than what they're saying, because they may say one thing and they mean another.
Yeah, what's the biggest difference with the culture? And I'm sure there's several things.
Oh, I'm trying to think here. Well, they're much more emotional, perhaps. Very much more emotional. And you go to a bar, all of the bars in Brazil are basically outside bars, and they always have music. And whenever they have music at a bar, the women stand up and dance. And it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing in the world to watch a Brazilian woman dance, because her dancing, her moves come from way down deep in her soul. They can dance like nobody else can dance. And it's such a beautiful thing. It's just beauty. It's the definition of beauty.
Wow. And like you said, it's the definition of beauty. And that happens all over. That's culturally, that's acceptable. That's what happens. It's celebrating.
That's what
it's
happens.
Joy.
That's what happens in Brazil.
Yeah.
And people, when you play music, people are, some of the men are grab a spoon and they're beating on a couple of spoons, and somebody else grabs a knife and beats it against the glass, and somebody else is rapping on the table with their hands. And I mean, they join in the music. They are participants in that. And men and women, they learn to dance when they're 2 or 3 years old. And they are so good at it. And parties in Brazil are parties. They are professional partygoers. They are not amateurs. And it's so much fun just to be around them.
Wow, how do you do? You're in that culture, and you do the Peace Corps thing, and then you're doing business, and you get through some of the obstacles, but then you're celebrating all the joyous things that the Brazilian people bring to the table. Was it tough to readjust when you came back to the United States?
It was very tough. That's called reverse culture shock, and I never did really adjust. I tolerate it, but it's just very difficult. There are so many times when I have a feeling that I have to hide, because the thing is I'm no longer an American, and I was never a Brazilian. I'm kind of somewhere in between the two, and I don't really fit in Brazil, and I don't really fit here, but you just have to make do.
Yeah.
The cultures are so different.
Yeah. You know, when you looking at your experience and this book, was it fun for you to write the book and travel back in your mind?
I loved it. I loved every moment of it. And I'm writing it mostly for my children and grandchildren. You know, my great-grandchildren aren't going to care, but my children and grandchildren both know me, but there's so much they don't know about me that I think they will enjoy reading about.
Yeah. So for people, your family, we understand, but for people that are listening to our conversation and they say, wow, that's interesting what Harold's done, I want to read that book, what do you hope they take away from reading the book?
Well, that it's fun to travel, and it's interesting, and some of the things that you find aren't always pleasing, and you have to be patient because there's a whole different time scale. Things don't happen overnight, and you have to know how to go about that. You have to be patient. You know, it's just the adventure of not knowing what's around the corner or over the hill. That's what's so exciting for me. I never dreamed that I could do the things that I did. You know, I hitchhiked through the jungle in Guatemala.
Wow.
I rode a motorcycle up the Pan American Highway from Panama to Nicaragua. I slept in a burnout school bus overnight in the jungle in Costa Rica. And hitchhiking in the jungle in Guatemala, I was on a lumber truck, and then I was on a barge going down a river hauling corn. And just, you never know what's around the corner. You just, you go there and you find out the situation and you resolve, you find a solution.
Right. And you're taking us there, and that's what you're saying. So for people reading the book, you take us on a journey. Living in Brazil as a Peace Corps volunteer and businessman, Harold Beck, what a delight to travel back with you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I'd like to say that I have a webpage that's hlynbeckbooks.com. It's Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Beck, B-E-C-K. That's hlynbeckbooks.com. And it's being within a couple of days that should be active.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that, Harold.
Thank you very much.